Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Under the trench coat. Stop with that. Rolling in the geek.
Hey, do we need anything or are we jumping right in?
I think we're good.
I'm good.
Hey.
Hello and welcome to Under the Trench Coat, the after show bonus episode for Riven, the Shattered Continent. I am Ken Brown, your dungeon master.
I'm Brad, your social media guy. Since Nick gave me shit about that earlier.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm Nick, and I feel like Brad only said extra words because at dinner I specifically said he never says extra words.
That's exactly why. So, I'm asking a question right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Because I think you can tell us at this point. What percentage of the city did we save?
78%.
Well, I mean, oh God,
that's more than I expected.
I expected too, but that's still a lot of people that died.
Not necessarily all of them died. I'll say that right off the bat. Not necessarily all of them died because
she's just going to take some because she needs power, and then she can subjugate the rest. All they have to do is bend the knee.
You say
it's entirely fucking fair. That's what she wants.
There's damage that was done because of the quakes, which there was a number of them. Her exploding out is definitely a concern. But not everybody who stayed behind will die. I'm not just saying automatically that 22%. Is doomed because they're not. But people died. A catastrophe like that in a city as large as Aetherport is, people are going to die.
So, more detailed question.
Mm-hmm.
That 22% is roughly how many people? Sorry.
I put some thought into this, but not a ton.
It's just one of those things that my mind is super curious about.
I would say you're probably talking like between 2,000 and 5,000.
Ouch.
Like somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't have a pin exact number.
Also could be worse, but ouch.
Yeah. Because Aetherport was big. You know, it was fairly large. And, you know, getting a 78% of people from there for sure to safety, at least out of the city, is a huge chunk of that.
And most of those 2,000 to 5,000 were probably the rich fuckers.
Not necessarily, because the Richie Rich area is it was definitely the lowest percentage that you got of successful exfiltration.
But also the smallest area.
But it's one of the smallest areas, yes. Because obviously that isn't going to be a significant chunk of the population. Just because that's how fucking economies work.
Right.
So, it was the lowest percentage, but also lowest population center of the city. Another big goof was Avalon did not do well when she and Harco split to try to help. She rolled all of a 9 on her persuasion, which was just a flat out failure. So what I did is that I rolled a D10 to see what percentage of people that she would get to move with her very unsuccessful check, and that came up to a 2. So
it's because she wouldn't go into dragon mode.
No, I mean, maybe she could have scared a lot more people by going into dragon mode, but that might not have been the biggest benefit to you later. There was a few things that were going on behind the scene. And I'll tell you this now because we're out of it. William and the guards were helping that. So at the start of the night, you had 40% that were for sure evacuating. They were leaving. That was between what you did the first night, your ask for help from Numerath, William and the guards helping, the miscellaneous stuff that you'd done before that. So, I mean, going from 40 up to 78 is not an insignificant jump either. That you almost doubled your, you know, what you had gotten out of there. I will also tell you, no, I will not. Never mind. I'll leave that for later. Yeah,
no, you already said it.
Now.
Motherfucker. That's such a dick tease. Say this. You know what? Actually, there could still be something playing off this, so I'll leave it in my mind, Noodle.
There is something still playing off of it, and I think that Aquin was helping evacuate people. That was why you did not see him in his regular spot, because he was kind of clued in. He knew that something was going down. He knew that it was happening very soon. And so he started to get people out. He did not have a big percentage, but he got some people out.
There was part of me that wondered that, being as he just kind of showed up. And I was like, if he wasn't there, I mean, I guess he could have just been a fucking creep and still just watching things unfold. But there was part of me that wondered if he was doing something. I didn't expect to see him at all. I figured he just GTFO'd when shit hit the fan. He was able to tell somehow that very large dragon stuff was about to go sideways very fast.
Yeah.
But then when he was there, I kind of wondered if he hadn't been doing something. But I couldn't let that bleed into Harkos, because Harkos has no reason to want to give a shit about this guy. This guy was very standoffish for understandable reasoning. But as of right now, he's one of the wishy-washy compatriots. So Harkos has no reason to treat him with the most civility. I don't want to say none, because we're trying to be better about that. But the fact that he's one of the we'll see who looks stronger candidates makes Harkos less inclined to give a shit.
Yeah.
At the moment, especially with the chaos going on. That was a huge factor for sure.
I get where Harkos is coming from. I obviously know a lot more than Harkos does. So my, I want to throw some of my 2 cents in there, but I gave my 1 cent, which was that Aquin was assisting, whether you realized it or not. So couple of big points that I want to hit here. I thought about giving you guys a heads up on what I wanted you to do, like to give you time to have ideas. But I decided against it because I felt that that pressure of the moment would feel more genuine.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I agree. Like there was part of me, I had basically the same thought. There was part of it was kind of wanting you to give like a little bit of a nudge, be like, well, you guys could technically, like, having been here for a little bit and like being up in the air, you can see these things. These are probably options you have. But also, I like that because of how it happened, no matter what happened, it was entirely on Brad and I, the results, and in turn, Trevor and Harkos, the results of Aetherport, which sucks to shoulder that, but it means whatever success is solely on us with no help from you, no offense.
Yeah.
Not that we would be upset by it, but it would, looking back on it when this campaign's done or whatever, this moment, however cool it is, it would matter less, I guess. Brad and I would still be excited about it, but in the grand scheme, we'd be like, yeah, and thank you for not being a total dickhead. Not that you were a dickhead by not doing anything. But it would just be one of those moments that we'd look back on and be like, yeah, big fucking really glad Ken helped us out there. And now we did okay on our onesies.
Yeah.
So
again, I
agree with your choice.
For certain rescued almost 80% of the city just between the two of you. That's nothing to scoff at. And
right.
Especially going into a post Syraxis coming back world that now there is going to be a much bigger looming threat that people are going to be much more aware of. And especially these people that saw it happen are going to be some of the strongest supporters of whatever you're going to do. You know, because this is the seat of power in the entire continent, and the biggest players in whatever realm are here. So whatever when it comes down to end game, if you need supporters, you need an army, you need supplies or whatever, you know, going to a person that survived Syraxis's rebirth is going to be a much more fruitful event than going to schmuck from Jimston in Northwestern Ribbon. You know, like that's the impact is going to be different for somebody like that. So, you know, that the fact that you were able to get so many people out that they know that you were the ones that were trying when nobody else was, you know, that will mean something to the people who are left.
I want to ask in that same vein that we're talking about. So I have a comment. I have a question. My quick comment is the only other thing that I could think that was crossing my mind to do was for Harkos to, because presumably there are trains that go here, was for Harkos to go and try and tell the train people to let as many fucking people evacuate onto the trains as possible. But the more I thought about it, I was like, someone's doing that. It's like, William will have someone doing that, or like word's gonna reach the train, and like, unless the conductor's a piece of shit, they're gonna be doing that. And so I thought that was wasteful. So that's my comment. My question is, in your opinion/suggestion, what were other options that we could have explored outside of what we did, if you have any?
Exactly what you said. I thought that would be either that or between pirate ships and legal ships.
That was my other thought, was talking to them and being like, yeah, hey, we need you to take on as many refugees as you can fit.
Yeah, like that was another idea that I had of possibilities that you would do. There was the violent thought that I thought that you would try to strike fear into people to try to get them out, which is what I thought you were angling for with bringing Davinia and having her exposed.
I didn't. My hope with having her exposed was more to get the, oh my God, it's real.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that. I mean, I guess that would still be a sort of fear, but not the like, ah, I'm trying to scare you fear, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't, like I said, in game, I didn't want her to do that because we're supposed to be the good guys.
Well, and Brad and I wavelength in that moment because I was like, too bad Harkless isn't nearby. And my thought in that moment was if like I would have been there, I would have been like, Avalon, can you show him your face? Which would have been super fucking scary for Arcos for sure, just to be flashing her around like that. But I like that Brad and I had the same fucking thought. Let's call up a herald and have them take off their skin. Like, yeah. let that be the thing that we use to tell these people.
I had thought in the same vein of you know trying to find Lord Tyrellian. I thought maybe you would try to tap into King Jubilee, that try to get to him or get some message to him to try to get him to make an announcement or, you know, do something. Like, that was another thing. I had a number of different things. I
figured Tyrellian probably had just about as much pull.
I didn't want to involve the king just because I made my snarky remarks in the throne room to Syraxis about how he was still her king or whatever. So I feel like he's going to be public enemy number one when it comes to the Syraxis side of things, because he's the leader of the free people. So I don't know that I would. Not that I think Ken, again, would have been... At least podcast Ken would have been dark enough to fuck us that way. But my brain doesn't think of podcast Ken. My brain just thinks of Ken as Ken. So I didn't want to involve him for worry. Like, when we met Tyrellian, I was going to be like, is Jubilee out? Like, is he safe? And that was the first thing that he said on his own. So I am kicking myself a little bit for thinking that my talk to the trains and talk to the boats idea was silly, but I'm happy with what I did because I feel like, again, the trains and boats probably accounted somewhat on their own. I could have just made them count more, whereas had I done that instead of talked to people in town, those people wouldn't have left.
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance, and like, I would have made whatever you decided to do make some sort of impact, you know, whatever it was. If you guys came up with an idea, I was going to let you chase it and the dice were going to decide. You know, so I wouldn't have been like, well, that's a stupid fucking idea. Why the fuck would you do that? Because that's not fair. I mean, in storytelling or in the game, like if you have an idea and it just gets shut down, then you're not yes anding at that point. Mm-hmm. You're not playing the improv.
You're always going to do the yes and the no buts.
And at that point, I'm not doing my job. At that point, I should just run a one person story podcast where I just talk. Right. And that's to me, that's not nearly as interesting.
Yeah,
because it's collaborative. It's all three of our stories, not just mine. I could rant about that for a while. Possible heroic sacrifices.
That hurts so bad.
From William and Lord Tyrellian.
Would hurt less for Tyrellian to die. I don't want William to die.
Not for me. Like, Harkos doesn't even know that Tyrellian made that sacrifice, but I have such a hard time dissociating from my characters. I really do. Like, I become them when I play them. And so I keep saying Harkos, and it's a lot of times it's my feelings. Weirdly enough, I can dissociate my anger and bad feelings from each other between the two of us, but all my good feelings is both of us, always. So, like, Tyrellian was a major douche when we got in, but drunk Harkos wasn't exactly nice, and Trevor didn't exactly help smooth things over, so we weren't great to the guy with all the money. We just looked like people that the king decided to bring in because we stopped some peasant uprising, and we were both cranky because our nights with ladies were ruined and we weren't very kind, we weren't very regal, blah blah blah. So you have to take that into account. Also, not so much William, but in Tyrillian, and in a much shorter time span, because he wasn't an asshole, he's just a rich elf. Not to be that person, but that's what he is. And we're nothing, you know? But in a much shorter time span, Tyrillian has had an Ansagar arc in Harkos' eyes, you know? Because he right. was this awful person. Then he was like, listen, I fucked up and I'm sorry and I want to remedy that. And in that moment, Harkos is just like, don't apologize. Just do your job now. And not in a dick way. Like, I get it and it's fine. I wouldn't have believed it a few months ago. Go get him safe. And so if Harkos were to find out about that, like, Harkos would be upset about both of those things. If Tyrillian dies, Harkos is going to mourn him. If William dies, Harkos is going to mourn him.
I'm not saying Trevor's not going to mourn him. You're
saying as Brad that Tyrillian means a little bit less to you than William does. But to Nick and Harkos, like, they're similar levels because these heroic sacrifices. We are us, Trevor, Nick, Brad, and Harkos are all nurturing these fucking Ansagar moments, and I'm not about it anymore.
Right.
I don't want it. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hurt about people that I didn't want to care about. Not that, which is rude to say about William, because I always liked William. William was never a dickhead. And William wasn't an Ansagar moment. William was just that hurt, just because William's always been decent. And he doesn't owe this city anything, but
right.
knowing what we do about him and the little bit of story that we've got about him and everything, I mean, it makes sense. It 100% makes sense that he would want to do this.
And
because the city is him.
And
you know,
from their perspective, these are two of the people who could have made a bigger difference than they did before all of this happened. That if they had actually checked in on these things, if they had listened to you in the first place, if any a number of those things had happened, that they had been able to cue in on this earlier, then they could have made a bigger difference. Because everybody else from the council, the mom was Syraxis, Malus was a progenitor, that's, you know, Syraxis's parent, and the king, those are the only other people, but it's more important to keep the king alive. The other two are obviously not gonna like help spread word to get things people safe, because you know,
right,
Syraxis doesn't give a shit and Malus loves his daughter and is, you know, has a dark side to him because of that. So the two people that are left that were part of the king's council, that they needed to prove something to themselves, that they could make a difference, they could make up for the mistake that they unknowingly made. And so they put themselves into that situation, both of them into that situation, that they're very much in harm's way. And I will not reveal at the moment their fate.
So do you know? Have you already rolled it? Do you know?
I'm not going to answer that question.
No, you can't answer that question because it tells me nothing. It just makes me hate you more or less, depending on the answer.
That's fair.
I have not officially made a call on that. I have not rolled for it yet.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
I thought about doing it before the episode ended, but I will do it before next episode.
That makes sense.
I want to keep myself on the edge of my seat.
But just to manage expectations, that is not indicative that information will come out next episode, depending how things play, right?
Yeah.
Like, we would have stuff, dominoes will have to fall that we have to come across that information. You're not just going to roll stuff, and then that will be part of the narrative of that episode.
No. No.
Okay. I just wanted to manage mainly Brad's expectations, but also mine.
No.
Because I know Brad, it'll pop into his mind and be like, okay, cool. So, are they alive or dead? You're like, you don't know. Be like, bullshit. You said you'd roll. I did, but you don't know. So now we know that that we need to be investigative when the time is appropriate.
Yeah.
Oh god, it sucks.
God. So much stuff.
What?
This is a thick episode.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and honestly, I think runtime wise it's going to be a little shy of our, like, it's going to be around the same, but it's going to be one of our shorter regular timed episodes. Just because our pre-show was a little longer.
Yeah.
But what, how did you like my lie to get people out?
I wasn't expecting you to go that route. Given the situation, I wasn't expecting that. And I think that it's so perfectly played into the expectation of the people, because you had the information that the king, quote, the king, quote unquote, was cracking down, that people were already somewhat suspicious that some other things were happening. You had these pieces to play. You had these cards that you could play. And I think that you played them in a really solid way. And that's why I gave you advantage on that particular role, is because you played the cards that you had in a succinct but specific enough way that people would be like, okay, yeah, that tracks. I'm gonna get the fuck out. I liked that a lot.
I don't like having Harkos lie, because he's never been one to really do that. He's doing it more when it's necessary, and he's trying to do it in such a way that they're more white lies. I mean, that one was a pretty blatant, everything I just said was false. But I think the only part that he really felt guilty about was throwing Gibbous under the bus by being like, hey, your stupid fucking childish king did a dumb thing, and so y'all are in danger now.
Yeah, and that's shady, but you know.
I was already talking about it in a previous episode, like in episode content, that Harkos doesn't think, like when we sent Lenara to the ships, that's what it was. And she was like, what do I tell him? And I was like, and she was like, the truth? And I said, nope, because that doesn't work. And maybe now that Syraxis is out, the truth will work, depending on who we talk to and where news travels and all that. But up until this point, the truth doesn't work. We've tried. Harkos, again, because I don't necessarily enjoy doing the lying thing, Harkos doesn't know why we have to lie. Like, what's the point? It's scary, and people need to know that shit's coming. And so he tried to do it, and no one gave a shit. And so this was a moment that he needed people to give a shit. And so I just thought about, I was like, okay, so what information does Harkos have at his disposal so I don't have to just craft a lie out of my ass? And all I could think about was, I was like, well, I could just say that the king did something stupid with his army that everyone knows he's not making, quote unquote.
There's not to interrupt you,
no,
but
that was basically the end of the thought. So
I really like inspecting heroic morality. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting for me, you know, what hero lived their life in a completely moral fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Did they get to do the things that they did by being completely honest and good all of the time? And I cannot believe that the answer to that is yes, because there is the situations like this is like, you know, that if you tell the truth, nobody's going to believe you because nobody has reason to believe you. So is it more moral to let these people die for truth or live for a lie?
Right.
Which one is better? And the answer is neither of them. But you have to you have to figure out where you lie on that spectrum. Is like, can I justify me doing something that is technically wrong to do something good in the long run?
What am I going to lose less sleep over? Am I going to worry about at night when I close my eyes? Am I going to see me lying about the dark magic erupting from the keep? Or am I going to think about every single person that died?
Yeah.
That I couldn't get to because I didn't try hard enough. And not that I didn't, not that if I would have told the truth, Harkos wasn't trying hard enough, but he knew. Like, it came down to the fact that Harkos, like, exactly what you just said, Harkos knew if he went down and was like, Syraxis is coming and you need to leave, they would have been, okay. Like, no one would have fucking listened. You still would have had me roll it, but the DC would have been preposterous because it's astronomically fucking not going to happen that people are just going to up and go, oh yeah, the dragons that no one else believes either. Yeah, no, we'll buy into it because of the earthquakes.
Yeah.
Like it. And so that, and that is the thing. I mean, Harkos at the end of the day, that will make him feel better. And they've done that with other stuff anymore. Like, I think when superheroes started out, they wanted them to be these super beings, but as stuff has progressed, I mean, even fucking Superman, which is like the poster boy for perfect hero, has had fuck ups in his comics and shit. So the most recent, the Henry Cavill Superman movies, when he fucking fought Zod and destroyed the fucking city, I mean, that's a super not moral thing that he did. That's why Batman hated him. Spoilers. Martha. But yeah, no, I didn't feel bad about lying. I didn't like having to slander Gibbous a little bit because he's not a bad guy. He's a little naive, but that's not his fault. I mean, he's a happy-go-lucky guy. He's in a big city. Nothing bad has happened for a long time. Like, he's in a cushy spot, and that's okay that he's that kind of innocent. And ultimately, no one's gonna fucking come at him for it. And if he finds out that I lied about it, I hope that he's just appreciative that I saved some of his subjects.
Now, but any other, I think we're coming up against our time here. So
yep.
Is there any other final thoughts, questions, concerns, or comments before we close up the trench coat?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything.
All right. Well, I'm Ken.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Nick.
And we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Stop and record.
Stop and record.
Stop and record.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.